Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 through 27. These are God's words. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If men contend with each other and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time, and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod, so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This passage continues what began at the beginning of the chapter, the application of the moral law in the life of Israel as a state, as a civil state. When we say nation in this context, we don't mean ethnicity, we mean as a society. And in particular, it addresses the issue of murder and includes also Fifth Commandment issues. So we have Sixth Commandment and Fifth Commandment. Now it is plain that murder is intending to kill a neighbor. And this includes when to contend with one another. You look at verse 18, even if the guy doesn't die but remains bedridden, verse 19 implies that the one who quote-unquote won the fight loses his life. Okay, that also should put to rest any romanticized notions of evil thing called dueling, a way of solving disputes in the 18th and 19th centuries. For some reason, there are some late 20th and early 21st century fools who think anything 18th and 19th century must have been wholesome and good and wise. But if they knew the history of those times, they would know that we Reformed Presbyterians didn't start becoming weird in the 20th century. We've been weird ever since Abel, who got killed by Cain because Cain wanted his contemporary worship to be recognized before God. So, Presbyterians were against dueling. Why were they against dueling? Well, because Exodus teaches that dueling is murder. And God values his own image in human life. In fact, the penalty for murder being death, that's not new here in the statutes of Israel. That was instituted for all societies everywhere in Genesis chapter 9. And the Lord said, specifically, it was because man is made in the image of God. If two guys fight with one another, one, you know, they both risk having to pay for the other guy. I don't know what happens if they both maim each other. Neither, you know, they both lose hands and eyes or whatever. Neither of them can be healed. But you run the risk if you permanently injure the guy and he's not able to work a good enough job because he's a lower level laborer now, that you have to fill in the gaps for him financially for the rest of your life. And hopefully you end up having a good relationship and you're sorry and so forth. And you end up blessing the day that brought you into such a relationship. But that kind of thing can only happen. We could only expect that kind of thing from regenerate people. Anyway, God, obviously, he values his own image in human life. Two special cases here. One is it holds true even in the case of servants. When it says, for he is his property, in verse 21, it is not saying that a man can buy a servant to have as property so that he can beat him whenever he wants. It's implying that the servant deserved the correction, that the servant was refusing to function as property, and that the corrections are commensurate with whatever level of rebellion. And as it gets worse and worse, the corrections become more and more severe. There is an expectation that the servant, who you remember could only be your servant for 6 years from the previous passage, is being treated in keeping with the sixth commandment. And if the master kills him, he actually gets the death penalty for it. And if the master injures him in some permanent way, disables him in some permanent way, then the master gets disabled permanently. So quite obviously not, you know, if you read, for he is his property, at the end of verse 21, as saying, well, he owns him completely so he can do whatever he wants with him, then you're just reading this completely out of context. And you deserve to be given over to your despising of God and to your despising of his word. We all deserve that. We must guard our hearts and minds not to read judgmentally the law of God. Feel free to read judgmentally. Not judgmentally, but feel free to recognize the flaws in the people of God. They're very flawed, and the Lord points it out all the time. But there are no flaws in the law of God. And so we must be very careful and be willing to be corrected either in our understanding or in our morality. So it holds true even in the case of servants. It holds true especially in the case of the pregnant and the preborn. The men in verse 22 hurt a bystander. And if she gives birth preterm, if she gives birth ahead of the expected time, and nothing bad other than that even happens to the baby, the guys who are fighting still have to pay pretty much whatever the father of the child, the husband of the wife, requires. The only limit is that the judges of the town have to sign off on it. But with this statute written by God, they're probably going to be signing off on a lot. This is one of the reasons why in Christian culture, when a pregnant mom walks into the room, you know, everyone gives special consideration for her. And it was extended in different times in Christian culture where a lady comes into the room and everyone stands. But you see how very opposite this culture is in thinking about the lives of children in the womb to our culture. Just making them come out early could cost you a fortune. And if they died, you died. That was murder. Accidentally bumping her, and she gives birth prematurely, and the baby dies after a few days because the baby was preterm. And that gets the death penalty. You see how very, very much God values his image in children who are in the womb. Now, the God who wrote Exodus 21, verse 22 through 24, or 25 rather, is the same God before whom America lives and exists. And all we could do is marvel at how patient he has been with us. But we should have, if God shows a special care for their lives, then also we should. So God values his own image in human life. He also values his own honor in established authorities, and particularly the authorities that are his first representatives to us. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Because what is he doing? He's striking God's representative to him. He's violating the fifth commandment. And so, honor your father and mother so that your life may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. But if you strike your father and mother, your life will be very, very short in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But not just striking, because we come back in verse 17 and hear, he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Why? Because the fifth commandment was not just obey your father and mother. It was not just submit to your father and mother. It was honor your father and mother. Cursing them is exactly the opposite. So the Lord expects his people to live in society that says a mom and a dad are the first God-ordained, God-appointed, God-representing authorities that he gives you in your life. And there is a special deference to them, not only as authorities, but as ones from whom and through whom your life came, to whom providence especially assigned in the most miraculous of ways. And you are to respect your parents from the heart. If you don't respect your parents from the heart, you are blaspheming your Creator. And if you blaspheme your Creator, not only should you be put out of the church, but you will go to hell apart from the atonement and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we continue these laws today? At the very least, children who strike and who grow up to be cursors of mother and father should be excommunicated from the church. There shouldn't be this extended multi-year no man's land where a child who is a covenant child continues to have membership in the church while doing things that would have gotten them executed in Israel. Now, Israel is a church and a state at the same time, so there's some ways in which capital punishment finds its continuity in the sword of the state. And then there are some ways in which capital punishments find their continuity in the keys of the kingdom, where they're put out of the church. It also does justify a father who puts a child out of the home as soon as he's able to support himself for committing this sin. The church can put him out of the church. The father can't put him out of the home until he's able to support himself. But as soon as he's able to support himself, the father is authorized by this passage to do that. So some very, very serious ways that this would still apply today. But the Lord helping us, the application for you will not be to figure out who should punish you in what sphere and how much. Hopefully for you, the application will be, God really wants me to honor my mom from the heart. God really wants me to honor my dad from the heart. All right, well, let's pray that the Lord would help us in the keeping of the two commandments that find application here, and pray for reformation in the church and in the state. Lord, forgive us, for we just have not treasured your image in others like we should. We're easily judgmental or hostile or quick to be angry or lashing out. And we see by the penalties that Israel as a state was to inflict for murder or even injuring that you take this very seriously. Thank you for the reminder that our lives are in your hands, and that when accidents come, it was you who delivered the one into the other's hand. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to especially care about the lives of the poor, and that we would especially care about the lives of pregnant mothers and unborn children. Lord, help us to honor our father and mother, from whom and through whom you gave us life in this world, remembering how seriously you take the dishonoring of a parent, as evidenced in this passage. Often, Lord, our flesh wants to respond by thinking that something you say or a punishment that you command is too severe, oh, forgive us, for we have no concept of your holiness when we think that sinning against you could receive a punishment that is too severe. And when we think of moms and dads, we often, Lord, are failing to think about you altogether. Oh, have mercy on us, that we could sit down and think about right and wrong and wisdom and propriety, and do so without factoring who you are and how we are interacting with you into the equation. But obviously from this passage, Lord, and the way our hearts tend to respond to it, that is the case with us. How we thank you that you've had such mercy on us, that even for such sinners, you, Father, have given your Son, our Lord Jesus, who honored and loved and hallowed you perfectly, that he would bear the hell that such dishonorers of parents as we are, and such despisers of other men as we are, might receive as his righteousness deserves. And so we pray that he would be glorified not only by the right standing that he has won us with you, but by your Spirit's making us to be more and more like him, that our lives would bear that out. We do pray for a country in which the dishonoring of parents is almost institutionalized in the naming of generations and the despising of previous generations by following ones. We have mercy on a nation that commits such continual murder, not only of the heart, but even in the taking of life, and even in a concerted assault on those children in the womb for whom you show such preference here. Lord, even now, O God, grant reformation, grant revival, and spare. Or else, Lord, how can you let such a people of such murder continue? Come down, O God, and display yourself. We ask that it would be by mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.